Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. Today, I'm a puppet. And am I a bird, too? This is episode F174. Let's talk about the words. The first word in this episode is foreclose. F-O-R-E-C-L-O-S-E. Verb from the 15th century. Never really thought about this word, where this word comes from. I mean, closing makes sense. So, number one, to shut out. The synonym is preclude. So if you kick somebody out of your house and you close the door, have you foreclosed them? Oh, by the way, I should say we are starting with transitive. Number two, to hold exclusively. Oh, so maybe like when one of the stores releases an exclusive version of a movie on the HD DVD, they have foreclosed the movie? They hold it exclusively? They got an exclusive contract? Number three, to deal with or close in advance. Aha, so I believe. Well, let's go to number four, to subject to foreclosure proceedings. So if we're talking about foreclosing on a property, maybe on a house, you can't pay your mortgage anymore. Maybe you gotta foreclose on it. So what are you doing? You are dealing with it, or you are closing in advance of, before you have paid off your mortgage, you are closing it. I assume that's what they mean by this. And so that's why we have the word foreclose. For, before it is done, before you have paid it off, you are closing. And then quickly, intransitive is to foreclose a mortgage, spelled mortgage. I was very tempted to foreclose on my mortgage after the 2008 crash, housing market crash. A while after that, I was like, ooh, this is bad, bad, bad. I am very tempted to foreclose. Here's the thing. It's not usually a great idea to just walk away. You're going to take a huge, huge hit on your credit and probably some other problems. So you got to weigh the pros and the cons. Are you willing to just lose all that money that you spent? That possible equity, maybe you didn't have equity, maybe that's why you want to foreclose. Anyway, it's a very complicated thing. I did not foreclose. I'm glad that I didn't. Okay, this word foreclose is from the Anglo-French foreclose, which is from the verb foreclore. I don't know how they pronounce it, which is from fors, with an S, F-O-R-S, which means outside, plus clore, which means to close. So it's interesting that this is from for, which means outside, instead of for, as in before, because it seems like it would be more about the second one. But it's outside, so you're closing outside. Well, that's why we have the first definition, to shut out. You're just closing something outside. There's a bear outside your door. I'm going to foreclose that bear because I want that bear outside and not inside. That bear is not allowed inside unless they're the Berenstain Bears. Then they can come inside. But most bears, or maybe it's Goldilocks and the three. Goldilocks can stay outside. I'm going to foreclose Goldilocks. But the three bears, they can hang out. They seem cool. I like the three bears. Okay. Well, because we are starting with such a have fun, happy word, the sound effect shall be wah, wah. Now we have foreclosure. Noun from 1713. An act or instance of foreclosing, but specifically, a legal proceeding that bars or extinguishes a mortgager's right of redeeming a mortgaged estate. So you have to mortgage an estate, mortgage a property, which means the bank owns it, you are paying them monthly, and you gave them a little bit of money at the front end to say, I'm good for this, I can handle this, but I'm going to pay you for the next 15 or 30 years, and then it will truly be mine. But in the meantime, you're sort of holding on to it. There was a joke I think it was maybe in an 80s movie. Was it not Peggy Sue Got Married? Somebody had a baby, and I think it was like the line was like, "Yeah, we had the American dream of having kids and two foreclosures or two mortgages, something like that." Oh, I've always hated the idea of a mortgage, but some things are unavoidable. Can we change our system? I don't know. Okay, so legal proceeding that bars or extinguishes mortgagor's right of redeeming a mortgage value. Sorry, once you foreclose, you go through a foreclosure. You cannot have this estate anymore. It's mortgaged. You're done. You've defaulted. Wah, wah. Next is forecourt. Forecourt. Is this the court that you go to before you go to the real court? Is this the tennis court, racquetball court, squash court, ping pong court, badminton court, volleyball court? Okay, it's a noun from 1535. Number one, an open court in front of a building. So this is not a court that you're doing legal stuff in. This is not a court where you are playing games with balls. This is just an open area, a quad, a square, a court. It's just a place to hang out. Maybe there's some trees. Maybe there's some benches. Maybe there's some birds. It's in front of a building, so it's the forecourt. All right, number two, the area near the net in a court game. So do you call it the back court on the other side and near the net is the forecourt? Do you have a mid court, a side court, a slanted court? I don't know. I didn't really play the court game so much, but I assume that there's at least a few of those are accurate. The forecourt. Get up in the forecourt so you can spike the ball. Wow, wow. Next is foredeck. Noun from 1565. It is the forepart of a ship's main deck. And didn't we have something in the previous episode about, it was the forecastle, which, by the way, this morning I was listening to the episode that had the word forecastle, which was like FOCSLE. It's pronounced forecastle. This morning is, it was episode like F153 or 54. Would have been F-153, I think. And so that is the forward part of the upper deck of a ship or the crew's quarters. And so the foredeck is just another part of the boat. It's in the front part of the main deck. Cleverly called the foredeck. Wah, 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 wah. Next is foredo. It's a variation of foredo. That one spelled without the E, this one spelled with the E. Wah, wah. Foredoom is next. Transitive verb from 1559. Foredoom. The doom is emphasized, as I think it should be. Foredoom. This is the second definition for the word doom. Doom. So I don't know. Is it the doom that comes before something else? What doom is this? Is it the video game doom? What? Foreface is next. Noun from 1545. I don't know. This is just a silly. It's the face I have in front of my other face. When I take this face off at night, I got another face back in here, and I would rather show you my foreface. This is the part of the head of a quadruped that is in front of the eyes. And so, you know, this is on animals, maybe not so many humans, but maybe other animals like a dog maybe. So the part that's everything is in front of the eyes is the foreface. So it would be their nose, their snout, their teeth, those sorts of pieces, the foreface. I think here on me human, I'll go this way. You know, my nose is my foreface, and I guess maybe my mouth is a little bit of my foreface, too. Those are the parts that are in front of my eyes. Next is forefather. Noun from the 14th century. In one of the previous episodes, we had a similar forebear. That's what we had, similar to forefather. This is number one. The 1A definition for the word ancestor. The people who have come before you, and maybe they were ants. Ancestors. Number two, a person of an earlier period and common heritage. So maybe you're not related to them. Your ancestors, you are related to. Some of my ancestors are Nanny and Pop, and I'm mixing up my sides of my family and my generations. I won't tell you. Ada, Sam, what are some other ones? Julius, Rhea, Elton. Just trying to think of names of the ones that I know of. Those are some of the recent but older ancestors. But they go way back. There's so many of them. Well, if we want to go real far back, I can tell you that Sir Robert Park was one of my ancestors. He came over in the 1600s, I think. He came over from England. All right. So the second one, a person of an earlier period or common heritage, these are not necessarily the people that you're related to. These aren't the people you're related to. These are just the people who have come before you, who are part of your heritage, a part of your culture, where you live. And so, you know, I'm in the Chicago area. So the people who invented Chicago, that's the proper term, isn't it? They would be my forefathers. But also, everybody living in America, our forefathers are the people who came over here to this country. Maybe didn't do the best things in the world, but they are our forefathers. I think, like a lot of people, I don't love the fact that we're using the word father here. I get it. It's an old term, but we haven't advanced to a new one. For person, I don't know. Does that sound funny? All right. Now we're going to go wah. For feel. This is interesting. For feel. This is a transitive verb from 1580. It is to have a presentiment of. And I believe I saw the same word in the previous episode, presentiment, somewhere. And I don't know where exactly, but I believe I saw that somewhere. And I, it was something about, was it under forebode? Because it was all about, yes, presentiment. So this word seems like maybe it's not like, it's having a feeling of something coming before it comes. But presentiment is not a word that I am aware of, and I'm wondering if it has a bit of a negative connotation because it was part of the word forebode. And so for feel, it's like you are feeling that it's coming. All right, I'm looking up present. Here's present, and where is presentiment? Presentiment, right? That's the word, because we also have presentient, which also seems very similar and related. Presentiment. Let's see. A feeling of something, well, it's just a premonition. That's all it is. But for some reason, they wanted to put in the word that we don't know, presentiment, instead of premonition, which I am aware of. So it's having a premonition is for feel. Ooh, I am feeling that soon this episode will end. Not soon, but soon. I feel like today will be a fine day. Not great, not bad, just fine. For feel. Okay. Next is forfend. And this is a variation of forfend without the E in the middle, which will be later. Later. Wah, wah. Next is forefinger. No, it's not the number four. It's F-O-R-E. It's the finger in front of your other finger. What is it for real? It is a noun from the 15th century. The synonym is index finger, which is this one. It's the one that you point with. It's the one that you stab. It's the one that you... What else do you do with your index finger other than point? You'd say number one. Maybe you'll say number one. It's this guy. Why forefinger though? Is it because it's your first finger after your thumb? I don't know. It's the only thing I could think of. Your forefinger. These are my four fingers. They have come before my other fingers, and I really gotta cut my nails. Holy crap. Wah, wah. Next is forefoot. Noun from the 14th century. I didn't know we had so many four things on our body. Four faces, four fingers, four foots. 1A, for forefoot, is one of the anterior feet, especially of a quadruped. The feet in the front. The front legs, the front feet of your dog. Maybe if your dog only has three legs, it would only have one forefoot and not two forefoots. This makes sense. The ones in the front. Now we have 1B. It is the front part of the human foot, also the front part of a shoe. So your toes would be part of your forefoot. Maybe the ball of your foot, which is right behind your toes, that would be your forefoot. But maybe the arch is not part of the forefoot. The heel, definitely not part of the forefoot. That's in the back of your foot. Number two, the forward part of a ship where the stem and keel meet. The forefoot. Why are you talking about foots on a ship? Because it's at the bottom of a thing, probably. Wah, wah. Next is forefront. Now, this seems redundant. Forefront. Noun from the 15th century. It is the foremost part or place. Just whatever you're talking about. The thing all the way there in the front of the thing. It's the forefront. It's so far in the front, we got to say it twice. Forefront. Might as well say front. Before front. All right. Wah, wah, wah. Next is foregather. It's a variation of foregather, of course, without the E. Wah, wah. Now we have forego. Now, I love this. This is one of those situations where the past forms, present forms are a little bit different. The past form, one of them is forwent. I like that. Another one is foregone. That one makes sense. And then foregoing. We are currently foregoing this. But I love forwent because it makes sense. You go, you are going in the past, you went. Forwent. All right, this is the first form. It is a transitive verb from before the 12th century, and it means to go before. The synonym is precede. So our forefathers forewent us when they lived before us. They preceded us. Forego. Foregoer is a noun. And we are going to have, well, I'll just say, wah, wah. We have the second form of forego, which is a variation of forego without the E, which will be again later in this little section here of the F-O-R section. I think that one probably has a little bit of a different definition. We're going to forego a thing. We're going to ignore it. We're going to skip it. We're going to forego it. But I think that's more for probably when you're not using the E in the middle. Because when you do use the E in the middle, it's all about going before. Episode F-173 is foregone. It forewent before this one. What, what? Now we have foregoing. Adjective from the 15th century. Listed, mentioned, or occurring before, as in, the foregoing statement can be proven. The statement that happened right before what I'm saying right now, it can be proven. This is probably what a lawyer would say. Listed, mentioned, or occurring before. The foregoing word in this episode was forego. A synonym is preceding. You can just switch those words out. The preceding statement, the foregoing statement, either one is fine. Wap wap. Now we have foregone. It's got its own entry here. You can say foregone, foregone. It is an adjective from 1575. The synonyms are previous and past. So it's an adjective, so you're describing a thing. So the foregone, I want to say the phrase, but it's coming up. I won't say it. The foregone episode, the foregone word, the foregone day. Yesterday was the foregone day. It's foregone. It's so sad. It's not here anymore. Wah, wah. But here's what I really wanted to say. Foregone conclusion. Two words, noun, from 1604. Number one, a conclusion that has preceded argument or examination. You have already made your conclusion. You've already decided what you want. Maybe the judge has made a foregone conclusion before anybody got to argue anything, do their examinations or their cross-examinations. It's maybe not the best idea to make a foregone conclusion. You're making the conclusion before anything has happened. It's foregone. Number two, an inevitable result. Ooh, the synonym is certainty. The example is the victory was a foregone conclusion because that team had all of their players and that team only had one player, and so we're pretty sure that it's a foregone conclusion. The team with the most people might win. Inevitable result. What is a foregone conclusion for this podcast? What is inevitable? Inevitable will be that I will finish this episode. I think that's pretty inevitable. I also just like saying the word inevitable. It's fun. Just try to say it. Inevitable. All right. Now, wah, wah, we have the word foreground. Foreground. First form noun from 1695. Because I work in video and photography and stuff, I use this word fairly often. What is in the foreground? This would be a much more visually interesting situation if I had something in the foreground of this. Can I put my 3D printed teeth on here on this music stand? Can you even see that? No, you can't. I would have to put it up like this. Will you even be able to see that? Nope, I don't think you can. Can you? Nope. It's got to be higher. It's got to be, like, up here. And I would love it to be, like, out of focus, but way over here or something. We could have some nice foreground things. Usually, the foreground things are out of focus, but you can focus between them. Okay, let's move on. Two. I didn't even start saying any of the definitions. Number one, the part of a scene or representation that is nearest to and in front of the spectator. So there is, let's say we're talking about a stage play. There are spectators in the audience, and here's the stage over here, and there are things in the foreground, right in the front of the stage. Maybe it's trees. Maybe those are in the foreground. They're the first thing the spectator sees. That's why they are in front of the spectator. But they are also in front of everything else. They're in front of the subjects, the main point, and then there's also a background, which is way in the back. All right, now we got number two, a position of prominence. The synonym is forefront, which we saw that was the foremost part or place. The position of prominence, maybe in a race, there is somebody who's in the foreground. They're in the first place, and hopefully they stay in that place. They sure would like to, but then here comes somebody to catch up to them. Number three, a level of computer processing at which the processor responds immediately to input to a designated high-priority task. It says compared to background. So, yes, while the computer is running programs, Some of them might be in the foreground. It's going to put the most effort into that one. That program is active. Right now, I only have, well, technically, I have two programs running, but the one that is in the foreground is called OBS, which is recording my video. I have Google Chrome on in the background. It's minimized, so that's in the background. Sometimes computer programs can run processes in the background while other things are happening. Computers, wow, who knew they could do so many things? Wah, wah. The second form of foreground is a transitive verb from 1892. To bring to the foreground, especially to give prominence or emphasis to. I am going to bring these 3D printed teeth to the foreground. I am foregrounding the teeth. Aren't they beautiful? They are kind of, they're fine. They're just fine. I have foregrounded the teeth. I will leave those closer in case I need to grab them again. To bring to the foreground. Maybe in a movie, you can bring the things from the background. Oh, let's bring them up to the foreground. Here we go. Now they're in the foreground. Wah, wah. Next is forgot. Now it's not forget or I forgot my pants. No, it's forgot. Like trust your gut. This is a noun from circa 1889. It is the anterior part of the alimentary canal of a vertebrate embryo that develops into the pharynx, esophagus, stomach, and extreme anterior part of the intestine. Lots of stuff. So, for some reason, I think I get the word anterior mixed up, and I am learning that it's in the front. Posterior would be in the back, but I always think of an as being in the back too for some reason. So this is, it's the anterior part. It's the front part, the first part of the alimentary canal of a vertebrate embryo that develops into the, so it's like this whole part here from the right below your stomach, I guess, up to your pharynx and your esophagus. And that is your foregut. Now, I think once you have developed into a real full-fledged human, maybe we don't call it the foregut anymore because it said that it develops into those things. But I think I would like to call this my foregut. How's my foregut? Well, I still have a swallowing problem, and I think it's getting worse, and that could be a big, big problem in my future. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep on chugging along. My foregut is, it's okay. It's not great. It's getting the job done for now. The esophagus is still taking stuff down. The stomach is still churning and whirling. All right, now we got to go to wah, wah. We have the first form of the word forehand. And this is our last word for this episode. We got two forms. Here we go with the first one. Noun from 1557. Number one is archaic, and it means superior position. The synonym is advantage. So it's a noun, so you would have the forehand if you are that person in first place in the race. Maybe it's a turtle race. So the front turtle has the forehand. Number two, the part of a horse that is before the rider. So the whole front part of a horse in front of the rider is called the forehand? That's interesting. Three, a forehand stroke, also the side on which such strokes are made. Where might you be making this stroke? It could be in tennis or rackets. Now, it just says, as in tennis or rackets. But wouldn't you say tennis is the name of the game, is rackets the name of another game? Do I have to look up? Is there a game called rackets? There probably is somewhere. I mean, I am well aware of the racquetball. I have played racquetball more than any other. Yes, rackets is a sport. It's an indoor racket sport played in the UK, US, and Canada. It is frequently called hard rackets to distinguish it from the related sport of squash, which is also called squash rackets. This is interesting. It was made. When was this invented? 18th century, the 1700s. Yeah, it does look similar to squash or racquetball. What do you think they use to play the game rackets? I think they use their forefeet. Hmm. But there's rafters up there. The racquetball and squash, I don't think, have rafters. Fascinating. Didn't know about rackets. Yes, dictionary. Good job at throwing in a very unknown game. So the forehand, this is how you're hitting it. You're holding the racket in your hand. I'm a lefty, though. Why am I doing this with my right hand? Because this big microphone is in the way. And so the forehand is, I guess, when you open up your body and you hit it this way. The backhand is when you're crossing your arm across your body, and that would be backhand, I believe. Boop, 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 boop. That's how you hit the game, hit the ball in rackets. All right. Everybody knows about the forehand. Now we got to go to the second form of forehand, adjective from 1599. Number one is obsolete, done or given in advance. The synonym is prior. So, hey, I'm going to pay you for your job, but I'm going to pay you beforehand. Beforehand. I'm going to pay you forehand. We do say beforehand, but we don't say forehand? Interesting. Number two, made with the palm of the hand turned in the direction in which the hand is moving, as in a forehand tennis stroke. A forehand tennis stroke. Made with the palm of the hand turned in the direction in which the hand is... That's the way to really figure it out. The backhand is... Your hand is, you're showing the back of your hand when you do that. The forehand is, you're showing the palm of your hand. It's so the palm is your forehand. That's the front part of your hand, and that's the back part of your hand. All right. Well, that was it. Shall we move on to picking a word of the episode? Let's move on to that now, please. Today we had foreclose, foreclosure, forecourt, foredeck, fordo, fordoom, foreface, forefather, forefeel, forefend, forefinger, forefoot, forefront, foregather, forego, forego, foregoing, foregone, foregone conclusion, foreground, foreground, foregut, forehand and forehand. That was a lot. I shall pick foregone conclusion as the word of the episode. It's a foregone conclusion that this is great. It's a foregone conclusion that this podcast is great. Just a short little song. And what comes after that is me telling you about a movie that we watched. And this movie that we watched is Better Man. We decided to finally watch that monkey movie. Not monkey. He's a chimp, not a monkey. That's different things. I was very curious about this. You know, I can't help but, when I saw the trailer, can't help but think, this is very, narcissistic. Look at me, I'm going to make a movie about myself, and I'm going to be a part of the movie, and I'm going to be making the movie, and it's about how great I am. But also, you know, I appreciated it because he actually calls out a lot of that stuff. Even very early on in the movie, he's like, yeah, I am a narcissist. But he also shows, which I assume is true, he also shows a lot of the bad sides of him. Narcissism could be one of those things. All the bad things he did, his bad behavior, bad things he said to people. And so, you know, it wasn't all like, hey, look how great I am. It's like, hey, I'm a human and I have made some bad decisions, done some bad things. But also, I am talented and I had drive and I put myself into this this certain echelon of fame. It was very interesting. I don't know how I feel about presenting him as a chimp. I know that a lot of people didn't like it. It's distracting. From a technical aspect, I was very fascinated by it. It's friggin' beautiful and very well done. What else was I gonna say about that? I guess it's like how he sees himself as something different than a lot of other people. And so this was a very visual way to show that. And, but yeah, people maybe got a little distracted by that. But also there's a lot of lines in the movie that are sort of hinting at him being different. Animal, the word animal specifically comes up multiple times. So, you know, there's layers to it. And, yeah, you know, I like to keep my movie descriptions not too spoilery, fairly simple, just to say some thoughts about it and maybe to get you to see it. And, you know, it's worth a watch, just like most movies. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. And until next time, this is Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.